Amen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Calvary Chapel again. Glad you're joining us this morning. Just praying that God's going to give us a great day. So, just want to let everybody know we're still broadcasting here from the church property. And we invite anybody who's within the area that wants to come out. We're going to do a barbecue after church today. Probably, around noontime is usually by the time we get everything set up. Church is providing hot dogs and hamburgers and sausages, buns, asking everybody to just bring a side. But if you haven't done that, just come on out. I mean, it's an opportunity for us to gather together and to fellowship together. So we want to invite everyone. Everyone is welcome. We had such a great time last week, and we're going to continue to do this just to give us opportunities to fellowship, to be together until we find a place where we can actually meet once again. So please be in prayer for that. The Martin Center's still under a lot of restrictions, and there's a lot of requirements for us to use that facility. So at this time, we're not able to meet there. So we're going to continue to do this and continue to have the barbecues. And throughout the week, Wednesday night Bible study, you're welcome to come on out to the church. We kind of do a dual thing. We do, a few people are meeting inside the home over here on the church property, and others are joining in via Zoom. And what a blessing that is, since we had to start that on Wednesday nights. We've got people, Suzelle joins us from Haiti. We have Tim and Lisa Rasmussen joining us from Texas. We have some friends out in California that are joining us. So, if you're watching us from a distance, you can join us through Zoom on Wednesday nights. You can go to our website and find the Zoom address to join us if you're out of town. But we welcome you to come on over. And again, just opportunities to fellowship throughout the week. But we do hope you join us for the barbecue this afternoon. We are in Acts chapter 19. So if you want to open your Bibles there, we're starting in the first verse. So Acts chapter 19. Before we get started in the word today, I just want to pray one more time for us. I feel this message that God has put on my heart. It's really touched me, and I pray that it touches you as well. But in order for it to touch us, our hearts have to be right. And so let's ask God to prepare our hearts and our minds to receive his word and to receive this truth. So would you pray with me, please? Father, once again, we want to come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names, our wonderful Savior, our mighty God, our Prince of Peace. God, we thank you for your peace, the peace that you give us in these trying times, Lord, in these different times. We continue to pray for our country. We continue to pray for this world and the coronavirus and even the Black Lives Matter protests, Lord. We just pray that change would happen. We pray that people would unite, that we would not have this division, but we would unite and love all people. But Lord, we just pray that the message that is being broadcast out there, the leaders and the people in positions would be moved to do what's right. Lord, that we would deal with each other with love and compassion and just embrace your truth. And as we look to your word this morning, God, I pray that you would speak clearly. Again, we thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you for the many blessings it teaches us and shows us to be a church that is empowered by you, to be a church that is led by you, and to be a people that is in love with you, Lord. And so we give you this time. We ask you to have your way with us in this place. I thank you for technology, Lord, and there's still the opportunity to be able to reach people through the internet. But I just pray that the message would penetrate all of our hearts, that though it's over a different medium, and though we can't get together physically just yet because of the restrictions that we have, we just pray, God, that this time is your time, that you would speak to us over the next moments, and that we would be forever changed by your truth and by your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. 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 This morning I want to talk to us about the Holy Spirit and how important that is, especially in the book of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was at work in the church. And really, the Holy Spirit needs to continue to be at work in the church. And so as we look to the Holy Spirit this morning, as we look and see the heart of the Apostle Paul as he comes into Ephesus and finds some individuals and just speaks into their life. I pray that we would have that same idea, that we were actually hearing the Apostle Paul speak to us. I've entitled today's message, A Faithful Companion. A Faithful Companion. And certainly that is what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a faithful companion to us who believe. Jesus taught this to his disciples. In John 14, verse 17, he says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." See, there's three relationships of the Holy Spirit. There's this with relationship, this relationship where the Holy Spirit is on the outside. And when Jesus was speaking to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit could be with the disciples. But Jesus very clearly said, after I leave, he will be in you. This indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes to those who believe in Jesus, who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit being with people is with people who don't believe, wooing them to come to God, calling them, convicting their hearts of sin. So we have this outside experience of the Holy Spirit being with us, and then the believer has this experience of in us, indwelling in us. Jesus said in John 20, 22 to his disciples, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He spoke into the disciples at that time, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Have the Holy Spirit in your life." So the Holy Spirit went from being with them to being in them. And I want to ask you this morning, do you understand the concept of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And maybe for some on this internet message, on this service this morning, maybe there's some here go, I don't know about a Holy Spirit. I don't know that I understand that the Holy Spirit is in me. I believe in Jesus. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Do I have to do anything to receive the Holy Spirit in my life? No. By faith, you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. By faith, you've accepted him and want to put your faith and trust in him. He gives you the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit's always with you. You carry the Holy Spirit around with you. How important that is to know that he's not just in there dormant, that the Holy Spirit, the person of God via the Holy Spirit, is with you always. Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit never leaves you. He's sealed you until that day we go to be with God in heaven. So do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Again, if you're a believer, you must know that he's in you. That's how that works. But there's this third relationship of the Holy Spirit that is even more powerful. Because just because the Holy Spirit is in you doesn't necessarily mean he's empowered you to be all that God wants you to be. Jesus said this in Luke 24, verse 49. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Endued with power. This upon experience, where the Holy Spirit is, you're kind of baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're immersed in the presence of the Holy Spirit, is the third and, to me, the most important relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit. Before you were a believer, the Holy Spirit was calling you to accept Jesus. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came in you, dwelled in your heart and your soul, connected you to God. And then there's this third relationship of the Holy Spirit when you as a believer come to that place and say, "Lord, I want more in my life. I want my mind to be transformed. I want my will to be conformed to your will. God, I'm asking you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit." Just like water baptism and you get immersed in the water, there's this immersion of the Holy Spirit. And this empowers us under the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we would be used for him. See, the disciples went straight to Jerusalem after they received the Holy Spirit. And in the upper room, they stayed and they prayed and they waited and they fasted. Because Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit empowers you. And after some days, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Acts 2, in fact, you don't have to turn there. I have it right here. But in Acts chapter 2, and the day of Pentecost, it says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them different tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, that's Acts chapter 2. When we were going through, as we were going through the book of Acts, we touched upon that. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the upon experience, the immersion of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what the disciples needed in order to go out and preach the gospel, in order to go out and be witnesses for Christ. My brothers and my sisters, before you believed, the Holy Spirit was alongside you, wanting to come into your life, wanting you to surrender to Him. When you gave your life to God, He dwelled in you to be with you forever. But this third relationship with the Holy Spirit is one that you must ask for. It's one that you must say, God, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's no qualification. There's no, you have to be with the, walk with the Lord for a certain period of time in order to receive the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is available to anyone who asks. Jesus said to his disciples, if you fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to him who asks? It's a simple asking God to empower you with the Holy Spirit and to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do you want more in your life? Do you want more passion in your life? Do you want peace in your life? Do you want to be used by God in a way that stretches you? Then you must ask for the Holy Spirit to be in your life. Again, along with the in you and the upon you. Jesus said this in Acts 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You receive power. That word in the original language is well, it's the word for where we get for dynamite. And it's to receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. To receive that power. And we'll look at this verse again later as we go through this message. Do you want power in your life? I think it's so important that believers are baptized in the Holy Spirit, especially in these days that we live, in these days at the end of this time, where I believe that God is telling us He's going to return soon. You know, Matthew chapter 24 tells us about the wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and all these things happening. We see such amazing things happening in our world that we as believers need to be ready for the return of Christ, to rapture us and take us home, but to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we might witness to our neighbors, that we might witness to our families, that we might witness to strangers, people in the grocery stores, people in restaurants, people that we just come in contact with. Every opportunity. This morning, I had a chance to stop somewhere on my way into church, and there was someone already at 7 o'clock, already at work, and to just say to that person, good morning. Have a great day. To really show appreciation for people around you. I believe that's being moved by the Holy Spirit, because we don't know these people. People we come in contact with, we don't know, but we don't know the condition of their hearts. You never know when God's going to have a divine appointment for you to say something nice to someone. I think this is something that we should be doing as believers. Paul said this in Romans 8, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's the real, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He goes on, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. As believers who have the Holy Spirit, we must submit to the Holy Spirit. And as I've said, the title of my message this morning is A Faithful Companion. This Holy Spirit is with you as a believer. Question is he empowering you to be a bold witness for Christ? Is he empowering you to be one of compassion, of grace? This is what we need in the world today. We need people that are confident in their relationship to God, that are confident in the Word of God, that it is truth, that the message of the gospel is just as effective today as it was when it was written, as when Jesus was walking out. It's just that powerful, and that we must be ready to give the hope of the answer that we have inside, because the world doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. And that's what I see as we get into Acts chapter 19. I see this battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And I just want to say this. That is a constant battle. The flesh and the Spirit. Just because we're believers and have the Holy Spirit, just because we're believers and maybe are baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't discount the ability of the flesh to rise up its ugly face. Because that's what Paul says in Galatians. The battle is between the Spirit and the flesh. The Spirit longs for the flesh. The flesh longs for the Spirit. And that's a constant battle. And Paul also says in Galatians, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not satisfy the lust of the flesh. The sad truth is, we walk in the flesh a lot. I walk in the flesh a lot. When I get aggravated, when I lash out at someone, when I have ill intent or ill will towards someone, I'm acting in the flesh. Oh, we would love to think that as believers, as Christians, that's all we do is walk in the Spirit. That's all we do is operate in the Spirit. But that is not reality. The flesh is always with us. And if we're not walking in the Spirit, then we are walking in the flesh. And we are all subject to it. It's a sad reality. I would love it if every day I woke up, my eyes open, and immediately I thought of things of the Spirit. Immediately I would just, you know, be sensitive to what God wants me to do that day constantly throughout the day. But my flesh wants to satisfy itself. As Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. We must crucify the flesh almost moment by moment. The Holy Spirit is a faithful companion. But sometimes we can ignore that companion. The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we can, you know, push away the Spirit, not be sensitive to the Spirit. It is our job as believers to stay on our knees and stay in a place where we're saying, God, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what Paul encounters here in Acts chapter 19. Read with me just the first four verses in Acts chapter 19. And it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, in what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Just give me your attention here. A faithful companion, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, being mindful that we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, just like we have a relationship with God the Father, just like we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't forget about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. When it comes to this faithful companion of the Holy Spirit being in our lives, I find here in these first four verses that Paul asks a very important question. He is there in Ephesus, as the Bible tells us. And interestingly, verse 21 of the previous chapter, Paul said that I needed to leave. I needed to go to Jerusalem to fulfill my vow. But I will return to you if God wills. And we talked about the importance of doing what God tells us to do. As much as Paul probably wanted to go to Ephesus, he was submitted to the Holy Spirit and saying, I'm only going back to Ephesus if God is going to call me back to Ephesus. And that is so important in our lives. But here we see in the beginning of chapter 19, as Paul has already started his third missionary journey, he finds himself in Ephesus, guided by God. It was God's will that he would return to Ephesus. And Ephesus becomes kind of a central place for ministry in Paul's life, an important place. It was a very popular city. There was a lot of commerce there. There were a lot of people there, a lot of diverse people there. And so the opportunity to preach the gospel to many people was there. And Paul finds himself in that place. And the Bible tells us at the end of verse 1, and he finds some disciples. Now, there's a lot of discussion over this text, like, were these believers? Were they not believers? It is my conviction, it's my belief, that these were disciples of John the Baptist. We see that in their description. They were baptized in John's baptism. So they understood the baptism of unto repentance, but they did not understand, and they didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to me, as Paul asked the question, it makes me ask the question, how did Paul know to ask that question? How did Paul know, as he saw these disciples or saw these people that maybe were talking about God, maybe, you know, we're talking about salvation, we're talking about the Messiah, but there was something about them that Paul made them go, do they have the Holy Spirit? Have they made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? Just like Apollos was corrected by Aquila and Priscilla in the previous chapter, Paul is being sensitive to the Spirit, and I believe God reveals to them that there here are some disciples, John, I believe John the Baptist disciples, that have not fully committed to a relationship with Jesus Christ, as we see in the end of verse 4. That you would, you know, he would, excuse me, that they should believe on him who could come, who would come after them, that is, on Christ Jesus. So they got close. John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus. He was proclaiming the coming of Jesus. And these disciples had not fully embraced the truth. I don't know, maybe it was their language. Maybe it was the way they talked. Maybe it was the way they carried themselves. Maybe they were preaching truth, but it was limited. They were missing this element of the Holy Spirit. I'm blown away at the ability that the Apostle Paul had to be sensitive to people around him and for him to question in this way. Do people look at your life and do they say, that's a Spirit-filled Christian? Or do they say, that's someone who proclaims to be a Christian, but they certainly don't act like one? They certainly don't act as though they've received Jesus as Savior. We all have times in our lives where we act out in the flesh. We all have times where we're aggravated, frustrated. You know, sometimes I look at my life and I'm like, Lord, sometimes this can be so hard. But I was reminded by a message, and it was totally the Lord. In my truck, I plug my phone in, and sometimes it'll just randomly play something that I have on my iPhone. Usually it's music. But this particular time I plugged it in, it was a message by another Calvary Chapel pastor that was about this idea that when life gets tough, don't give up. Again, he was sharing kind of some of his history, some of his story. And he's like, you know what? Life got tough. His wife had gotten cancer. His ministry wasn't growing. His congregation maybe wasn't as loving to him as he had hoped they would be. All these things were happening. And yet he was faithful to remain the course because that's what God's call was upon his life. And sometimes in your life, there's times you go, why do I work here? Why do I live here? Why am I in this marriage? Why do I have these children? Whatever the question might be. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's a physical ailment in your life. And you're going, why am I here? Those are the times when you need to remember what God has done. That we need to be thankful for what God has given to us, because sometimes we can be so consumed with the things that God hasn't given us yet, or we think God should give to us, and we haven't received them yet. Don't. And as I was listening to that message, that pastor just spoke into my heart. There's going to be tough times in ministry, but don't give up. Jesus didn't give up. Jesus came to this world. He lived his life to perfection. He fulfilled his purpose even when it was tough. Don't give up. Don't give up. Paul asked them, verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You know, again, this verse would make it sound like they were believers. But in their response, in the second half of verse 2, and they said to him, we have not so much of heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So there was a limited understanding on what it meant to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's what happens to new believers. Listen, I gave my life to the Lord in 1992, and I could answer just like that. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. When I gave my life to God, it was just me crying out for more in my life because I felt like something was missing. Now, when I gave my life to Christ, it's not like all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit come into me. It's not like we all of a sudden know that the Spirit is on us and we understand fully the Word of God. No, we walk simply, just putting our faith in Jesus, and we learn. Well, these disciples, these people that Paul encounters in Ephesus said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. There are people in the church that don't know that there's a Holy Spirit. There's people in the church that understand that I can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that he's been given to us for a reason and a purpose to remain with us. Just like Jesus was walking with his disciples, the Holy Spirit's been given to us to walk with us. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus said this to his disciples before he ascended. He said, you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in verse 8 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 1, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus said to his disciples, you're going to be given the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when you, once you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you are going to receive power. Not supernatural power, not power over the physical, spiritual power to rise above your circumstances, spiritual power to see the best thing in every situation. That's the power. He goes on, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses to me. Oh, it's not, it's not power over anything other than the power to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to encourage another person, to let the world see that you belong to God, to know that he is there with you. Don't you want that? Whenever I read that verse, Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When I read that verse, in my mind, I'm like, Lord, I want that power. Do you want that power? Do you want the power to rise above your circumstances? Do you want the power not to be worried or overly concerned on the cares of this world? Then you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to give us different eyes and to change our ears and to mold our hearts that it would align with God, to truly be a witness. And notice it says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the year. Witnesses, no matter where we go, is necessary to have the Holy Spirit. So this question that Paul proposes to these disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit? I propose it to you. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Do you understand that there is a Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is not just a force. Holy Spirit is not just, when the wind blows. The Holy Spirit is there to remind you of God's word, to remind you of Scripture. That's why it's important to read our Bibles, so that it's there. Then the Holy Spirit can remind you of those Scriptures that you've read, to be sensitive to Holy Spirit. But he's also there to convict us of sin when we make a mistake, when we say something wrong. Again, the battle between the flesh and the spirit, the Holy Spirit is there to help us and convict us of sin and to convict us of error. It's an important question for all of us to ask. If we have a faithful companion in the Holy Spirit, then he's always with us, then we need to pay attention to him. And my fear is there are believers, well-intended believers, that are still operating in the flesh more than they're operating in the Spirit. This message so convicted me this week as I was preparing it, because I came to the reality that I operate in the flesh a lot more than I operate in the Spirit. I'm supposed to be a pastor. You would think pastors operate more in the Spirit than they do in the flesh. I think Paul, when he was saying to the church of Galatia, walk in the Spirit and you won't satisfy the lust of the flesh, is because he saw a lot of flesh. He saw a lot of flesh in the church. Let's face it, most every letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church was to correct some fleshly activity in the church. So when we read our Bibles and we read about the things that the Apostle Paul writes about or the New Testament writers write about, it's because they're trying to correct some wrong in the church. Let's face it, we get it wrong more than we get it right. And again, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's encouraging the churches to follow his Christ-like character. And I like to read between the lines and say, I bet Paul would also say, don't imitate me when I'm not imitating Christ. Don't imitate me when I'm acting like Paul. Don't imitate me when I'm acting like the devil, when I'm acting out in the flesh. God forbid that people would follow our bad behaviors. Jesus, or the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verse 16 says, John answered and said to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John the Baptist laid it out and said, listen, there's one mightier than I, that I'm not even worthy to take the lowest position and unstrap his sandal, which was the position of a slave. John the Baptist says, I'm less than the least. I'm less than the lowest position. Don't look to me. And here's the thing. People are not to look at us. We're not to look at other people. Yes, it's important to be a good example. But the problem is we're not always a good example. The problem is sometimes we're a bad example. And so that's why it's important to remain in the Word of God, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our eyes on God, and to be sensitive to the working of the Holy Spirit. Spurgeon said this, and it's a long quote, and I apologize, but it's so powerful. He says, beloved, are you now receiving the Spirit? Question mark. Are you living under his divine influence? Question mark. Are you filled with his power? Question mark. Put the question personally. In other words, ask yourself these questions. He goes on, he says, I am afraid some will have to admit that they hardly know whether there be any Holy Ghost. And others will have to confess that though they have enjoyed a little of his saving work, yet they do not know much of his sanctifying influence. Spurgeon says it perfectly. Oh, we might think as believers that maybe go to church, that pray regularly, that read our Bibles, do our devotions, we might think that we're living a Spirit-filled life. But we might be thinking wrong. Just because there's a little bit of a spiritual influence in your life doesn't mean we're submitting to the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that we're asking these important questions. Was I living by the Spirit? Was I moved by the Spirit? My prayer on Sunday mornings is that, God, you would empower me to be used by you. That the people listening to my voice would hear your voice, Lord. That's my prayer. I don't want you to hear me. I don't want you to hear Pastor Rob. I don't want you to hear Rob. I want you to hear Jesus. I want you to hear the Word of God. I want you to be listening to the Holy Spirit. And as God is speaking to us through His Word, He's going to speak to you specifically in the situations and circumstances that are going on in your life. My question is, are you sensitive to those things? Why is it when we're in a church service that we're listening to a message that sometimes we're thinking this message is for someone else and not for us? Why is it we're thinking, oh, if only so-and-so would hear this, or man, I can't wait to share this with so-and-so because they need to hear this message? That we truly have hearts to say, Lord, I need to hear this message. I need to change. Paul asked an important question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? And these disciples said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. How do they respond? How do they react? Look with me at verse 5. When they heard this, look at, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. This is unbelievable. Paul runs into 12 men, disciples of John the Baptist, in my opinion. You can disagree with me if you'd like. That's fine. He finds, have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They immediately receive this teaching. They immediately receive Paul's message. And immediately they want to be baptized in Jesus. They knew there was something that they were missing. They had immediate action. Paul asked them an important question. They immediately respond in a positive way. When God speaks into your heart, when God moves you in your, that is the time to act. Don't second guess it. Don't wonder, was that God? As God moves in your life, respond. I just love the fact that these guys, when they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus right then and there. Baptized. Rebaptized, right? I remember early on in my ministry, whenever I would give an altar call at the end of service, this one person in my church would always stand up. So after about the fifth or sixth time, I asked them afterwards, I said, you know, why do you keep standing up and praying the sinner's prayer? And I'll never forget their response. They're like, well, I just thought you were telling me to do it, so I was doing it. And how wonderful of a heart that is, that truly we're listening to God's voice, and when God says stand up and give your life to God, that we do it in obedience. No hesitation. Has God been speaking into your life? Has God been revealing truth to you? And you've been hesitant. You've been holding off. You haven't been responding because you're waiting for something else to happen. See, when God speaks it to you, move. Be moved by the Spirit. They did not delay. They moved out immediately. My brothers and sisters, this message that we're reading in Acts chapter 19, there are so many people in your life and in my life that need to have a relationship with Jesus, a genuine, true relationship with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. That we would be those men and women, those believers that are being sensitive to people around us and help lead them to truth. Paul was willing to lead these men to truth. He didn't judge them. He didn't criticize them. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? No, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Well, let's baptize you in the name of Jesus right now. He didn't hesitate. You don't know what's going on in someone's life. You don't know the needs that are in your coworker's life. You don't know the needs that are in your neighbor's life, or even your enemies or strangers. But God might want to use you, and that someone would come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what the world needs today. That's what this whole country needs today, is people that are surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need this country to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom to navigate these times. I was just talking to someone this morning, and it's so hard not to offend someone in these days that we're living in. Whether you say something, you offend somebody. Whether you don't say something, you're offending someone. It doesn't matter what we do, we're going to offend someone. So why not do what God tells us to do without any regard for how people are going to respond? Because you're going to upset someone. So better to please God and upset man than to please man and upset God by not being faithful. Paul was faithful. And these 12 men, notice it says, when they heard, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. What a miraculous picture this is, as the Apostle Paul, in obedience, leads them into a deeper understanding and relationship with Jesus Christ. And immediately, the Holy Spirit gives them gifts. The gift of tongue, which really this is a gift of other language. Again, Ephesus was a magnet for people all around the region. Many different languages, many different types of people. And here these 12 men were given the gift of tongues to be able to speak truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ in all these different languages. Quite frankly, this is a second Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2, the disciples spoke in different tongues, and everybody in Jerusalem heard them speaking the glories of God in their own languages. And here we see these men speaking with tongues, other languages, and prophesying. The Holy Spirit came upon them. My friends, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given by the Holy Spirit. The way the Holy Spirit wants to do it. Some churches believe if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, then you're automatically going to speak in a tongue. Or if you speak in a tongue, then you must have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. It's God's responsibility to gift you with however he wants to gift you. And that could be a gift of hospitality. That could be a gift of knowledge or wisdom. That could be a gift of speaking in tongues or speaking, interpreting tongues. I mean, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, that's the reality. We cannot dictate what the Holy Spirit does. But effectively, Paul was sensitive that these gentlemen, that these 12 men did not have the power in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And by Paul's obedience and leading them to receive the Holy Spirit, to accept Jesus as Savior, the full gospel, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were poured out upon them, and they were effective in ministry. The Apostle Paul was obedient to teach truth. And the congregation, those 12 men, received that truth. As a pastor, it's my responsibility to teach you truth so that you will go and teach that truth to someone else. I can't be in your workplace. I can't live in your neighborhood. I can't live in everybody's neighborhood, but you can. And you can make a difference. You have the ability to reach and to touch the people around you. My job is to encourage you. My job is to teach you that there is a Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit wants to use your life, whether it's speaking in another language or just speaking the language of God, and to encourage people. That's the truth. That's the truth. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Listen, Jesus wants to make sure that his followers are empowered by the Holy Spirit, that his light would shine through us, that his light would shine through you, that other people would glorify God. What a blessing that is. To know that we can make a difference in someone else's life. It was just Friday. I was speaking with a friend. It was yesterday. Lose track of time. But I was speaking with a friend, a new friend, someone I just became an acquaintance of. And this person said to me, Rob, I just appreciate our relationship so much because you have drawn me so much closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have drawn me so much closer to the Word of God and to my relationship with Jesus. And to be quite honest, I didn't preach to this guy. I mean, I haven't done anything but let my light shine. Let the light of Jesus shine through me. Listen, there were times I acted out in the flesh. There were times in our relationship where I was frustrated in the things that were happening and some of the things that we were working on. And I know my flesh came out. But even despite that, they found themselves in a place where they were thinking more about God. I can remember one time, probably about a month ago, we were working on this project together. And it was just a frustrating day. Things were not going right. Things were going wrong. One bad thing after another. And it just felt like if we didn't do something, that this day was going to go down in flames. And I just said, let's stop and pray. Let's stop and invite God into this day so that he can turn this thing around. And we did. We stopped, we prayed, and our day turned out so much better. That's what people need to hear. People need to hear Spirit-filled believers say, listen, let's just stop and pray. Let's invite God in this situation. Let's invite God into our country. Let's let God be invited into our homes, into our workplaces, into our hearts, into our minds to transform us. Let your light so shine that others will see your good works and glorify God. Not glorify you, but glorify God. If someone were to look at your life, would they notice the presence of the Holy Spirit? Would they notice it? Or would they notice the lack of the Holy Spirit? Would they notice the void of the Holy Spirit? Will they proclaim to be a Christian? They say they go to church. They say they read their Bible. They say they pray. They say they're seeking God. But their actions certainly don't line up to that. See, for the Apostle Paul, these 12 men were moved to receive the Holy Spirit, were moved to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior, moving ever closer to the reality of what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a Christian. And God gifted them with gifts of the Holy Spirit to impact that community. It is all of our jobs to impact our community, to be an influence in people around us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can reach someone you would not normally be able to reach. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're like, man, this is such a difficult person. This is someone that just doesn't listen to me, doesn't respond to me. Let the Holy Spirit empower you to use you in that circumstance. Sure, we all want easy. We all want easy jobs. We all want people to just come to the Lord in our lives because of what, you know, actions we have. But no, let the Holy Spirit change you enough that you can have a different heart for that person. It is the Spirit's job to change our hearts. It's the Spirit's job to help us see with spiritual eyes, because too many times we see with fleshly eyes. And that's what we see in this next part. Look with me again. Verse 8 this time. It says, And he went into the synagogue. This is the Apostle Paul. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew. Reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Just a couple things I want to touch upon in this last section. And part of it, I feel like God just revealed to me this morning. Here's the Apostle Paul in Ephesus teaching about Jesus, leading 12 men into a relationship with Jesus Christ, getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit so that gifts were given to them so that they could preach the gospel in that city. And it's many came to faith in that town. So obviously there was ministry that was going on. But notice it says in verse 9, but when some were hardened. And it's so true that it's always a small number that don't believe that seem to have a bigger impact on a multitude that do believe. I don't want to say that Paul allowed a little bit of a difficult situation to affect his ministry. God certainly could have used it, and we saw fruit from it by him going and teaching for 2 years in a school. It's actually believed, it doesn't say in the Bible, but it's actually believed that Paul actually taught at this school 5 days a week from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. for 2 years. You think about that, how much time the Apostle Paul poured in to the people that were in that school and the impact that it must have had on that community. I mean, we see it. It says in verse 10, and this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So for 2 years, the Apostle Paul is teaching for maybe 5-6 hours a day. The word was getting out. And so clearly God used it. But I feel as though, I believe in my heart, that the Apostle Paul allowed a couple, just a, it says some, to affect the ministry that was taking place in Ephesus. And I say that to remind all of us, don't let a few people stop what God wants to do in your life. You have a faithful companion in the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Holy Spirit, and he should be enough to help us push through difficult times and to see victory and to see people's lives changed, starting with our own. The Holy Spirit has been given to you so that you will respond positively to God's purpose for your life. He's there to help you. He's there to come alongside you and to assist you and guide you and protect you. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Again, talk about a faithful companion and most necessary companion. But don't look at the people that maybe are speaking negative in your life or speaking down to you or being critical of you. Or maybe you're that one. Maybe you're one that's being critical of others. Don't let those things of the flesh affect the things of the Spirit. Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing. Paul says this. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said this. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So God gave leadership in the church. Notice it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We should be very thankful for the pastors and ministers and people and with spiritual knowledge that are in our life. Thankful for them. But their job is to teach us spiritual truth so that we, the saints, notice we have a part as well, right? I mean, it says evangelists, pastors, teachers, and those who prophesy. And maybe some of us are going, well, I don't qualify for any of those positions. Those leadership positions in the church are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So you may not have a position, but you are a saint. You have a position in the family of God. And you're to be equipped by the Word of God. You're to be equipped by the Spirit of God. You're to be equipped by the spiritual leaders in your life for the work of the ministry. And I'm not saying working at church. I'm saying the work of the ministry of life. Wherever your circle of influence is, that's where God wants to use you. So in closing, I ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you given him authority over your life? Are you being sensitive to him? Are you open to what God wants to do in and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit? That's where we all need to come. That's where we all need to be, is every day waking up and saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, guide me, convict me, lead me in righteousness. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Don't allow others to distract you from what God wants you to do. But be open and sensitive and asking God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. In fact, as I'm saying that, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to ask God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not my prayer, it's not my words, it's your heart. Do you want more from God? Do you want to be empowered by God in your life? Maybe you're feeling frustrated. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed. Well, maybe you need the Holy Spirit. So as I close in prayer, I'm going to pray that prayer for all of us, that we would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if that's something that you want in your heart, ask God personally for that. And then believe that he's given it to you and let him use your life to be a witness to the people around you. Pray with me, please. Father God, we thank you so much for your word this morning. How grateful we are for the text that we just read. That the Apostle Paul was sensitive to the people he encountered in Ephesus and led them to a place of a deeper and more intimate relationship with you. Lord, there's a world around us of people that need to have a relationship with Jesus, that they would surrender their will for your will. And so, God, we need your help. And so we ask this morning that you would, in fact, baptize us all with the Holy Spirit. Baptize each one right now, God, that is asking you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for indwelling in our hearts, but now we ask you to come upon us, to transform us and to empower us, God, to be those bold witnesses, to allow people to see our good works and to glorify you. So pour out your Spirit upon us and let not one of us doubt the fact that you have given us the Holy Spirit because we've asked, because we want more for you, God, not more from you. We want more for you. So bless us, Lord. Bless our day, bless our afternoon, whatever it is we want to do, whatever it is we're going to do this afternoon. We pray that your presence would be felt and that we would be moved by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Hope you can come out to our barbecue. But if not, be used by God in the place that you are right now. God bless you and have a great week.